I will be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. If you're using a Pew Bible, it will be found on page 1504. And this is God's word. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to the men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
There is a contemporary Christian song, and it's put out by Sovereign Grace Music, and it's based on a Puritan prayer called Valley of Vision. And the idea in this prayer is that God brings believers into the valleys of life that they may see his glory. In other words, God brings us low that we may see him, the song goes, in the heights. I want to call your attention to one particular part of the Sovereign Grace song based on that Puritan prayer, Valley of Vision. The song is called In the Valley. And here are the lyrics to some of that song. When you lead me to the valley of vision, I can see you in the heights. And though my humbling wouldn't be my decision, it's here your glory shines so bright. So let me learn that the cross precedes the crown, to be low is to be high, that the valley's where you make me more like Christ. Let me find your grace in the valley. Let me find your life in my death. Let me find your joy in my sorrow, your wealth in my need, that you're near with every breath in the valley. It's a very beautiful lyrics, wonderful lyrics, but I want to call your attention to the words, though my humbling wouldn't be my decision. The idea there is that we wouldn't pick the valleys of life that the Lord sometimes brings our way. It wouldn't be our choice. And that's certainly true. And we must praise God that he's far wiser, perfectly wise, and he brings our way exactly what we need, even though our humbling wouldn't be our decision. But this morning, the message that we're going to be preaching is actually about a kind of humbling that is our decision. We speak this morning of a voluntary, willful, joyful, individual, personal humbling before God, and it's called fasting. Now, here's the setting for Jesus' teaching on fasting in Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18. First of all, Jesus starts by teaching against practicing one's spiritual life for one's own self-glory. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Don't live out your Christian life, your spiritual life, in such a way that the desire is for other men to glorify you, to see your works, to applaud you. He goes on to speak of don't give your alms or give to the needy in that way. Verse number 2. When you give to the needy, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, that they may be praised by others. Then he speaks of praying. And don't pray, he says, to be seen in praise. Verse number 5, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. So he speaks of those who do these things like giving and praying, and they do them as hypocrites. They want to look a certain way on the outside in order to be thought of as spiritual. Well, all the time, the reasons they're doing it for are anything but spiritual. And Jesus concludes that God is not impressed, that they have their reward in full, which is being noticed, and they will receive nothing from God for this giving and this praying. The one who does such hypocritical things forfeits the blessings that come with glorifying God. They receive some very temporal and ultimately unfulfilling human applause. And so we understand that even devoting one's life to doing good can be bad if one's motivation is wrong. And it's important to know, as Jesus points out in all of this passage of Scripture, that you may be able to fool everyone else, but you will never for a moment fool God, who sees what you do in secret. The basic conclusion is that there's only one motive worth doing anything for if you belong to Christ, and that is to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 has spoken about how you should give in secret, in private, your giving to the poor, and how you should pray and enter your prayer closet, so to speak, and shut the door and pray in private, not do these things to be impressing other people. And now he's going to speak about fasting in the very same way. Or in other words, there is a hypocritical kind of fasting, and then there is genuine fasting. And again, the topic in all of these things is personal. This is about personal fasting. There is such a thing as corporate fasting, a group of people voluntarily deciding to fast together, like corporate praying. But the focus here is speaking of an individual believer fasting in a private and personal way. Okay, so the first thing we want to see in verse number 16 is this. Fasting, and it's an assumed self-humbling, or it's assumed or implied that believers will do this self-humbling. Because notice Jesus says in verse number 16, not and if you fast, he says, verse 16, and when you fast. It's implied that believers will do some kind of fasting. So it's important for us now to think about what that means. What does fasting mean in terms of a spiritual fasting? This is not like you're having a blood test and so you can't eat after midnight or whatever. The blood test. What does it mean to fast in terms of religious or spiritual matters? Well, fasting is, and it's abstinence from food for a certain period of time. Skipping a meal or skipping food for a day or longer, but it's for a spiritual purpose. In the Old Testament, under Mosaic law, there was only one required day of fasting, and that was the Day of Atonement. And the Old Testament text talked about, for that day, the children of Israel were supposed to, quote, afflict themselves, and that affliction referred to a self-inflicted fast accompanied by a humble contrition for sin. They would kind of be in mourning for their sinfulness, and they abstained from food. Now, in Jesus' day, it was known that the Pharisees fasted twice a week. You remember Jesus in Luke chapter 18 talked about the two men who went up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee prayed and he said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like that publican or that tax collector. And he said, I fast twice a week. And it's thought that it was Monday and Thursday were the Pharisees' fast days. And they made everybody aware of that. It wasn't secret at all. They let it be known that they were fasting. Sometimes they'd wear certain clothing and pour ashes over their head or rip their clothing up. The idea of, see how mournful we are over our sins. See how humble we are. See how close to God we are. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Don't do it that way. But the reason for genuine fasting is that a fast is a self-abasing act. It's a reminder to ourselves of the fact that God is more important than even basic human needs or wants or drives. Fasting is God-centered. It's not to make yourself physically better. It's not some kind of purging physically so you'll be healthier. It's a God-centered activity, and it would be wrong when you voluntarily decided to fast unto the Lord to want others to see that and know that and think, my, how spiritual you are. Fasting was to indicate in a physical way and foster self-humiliation before God. It was connected to the confession of sin, mourning for your sins. It was connected to the laying of yourself before the Lord for some special need in your life or petition that you have. It's essentially a form of self-humbling, and I would suggest that we could apply this text when you fast and so on to any act of self-humbling. Now, in the New Testament, there's not a command to fast. There's not a required day. There's not a command for believers to fast. However, when Jesus was asked about fasting, it's recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke, listen to what he said. It says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, then the disciples of John came to him and said, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? In other words, while I'm here as the bridegroom, the disciples are going to kind of behave differently. And then Jesus says, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. So fasting in our day, in this new covenant times, is a voluntary, self-humbling event. And we know that it was practiced by the disciples. For example, Acts 13, verses 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, this is at Antioch, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. Acts 14, 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. The Anglican pastor of years ago, J.C. Ryle, said that there was great wisdom in the fact that fasting is left to the believer's discretion. Ryle mentions poor people who hardly have any food and need to eat when they can, and sick people who must eat to avoid more illness. So it's an understandable thing that every believer must be fully persuaded in his or her own mind as to how this self-abasement should be worked out in their own lives. Not everybody may be able to do a great deal of food fasting, but all of us can desire to do something that demonstrates a humility before God in private. I'm not suggesting some kind of self-beating, self-inflicted act of torture, anything physically harmful or foolish like that. The case is simply, Jesus says, when you fast, when you humble yourself before God, it's a good thing. And one doesn't think that doing these things earns salvation with God or favor with God. We must avoid a legalistic kind of fasting. Our self-humbling is recognizing God and his grace bestowed upon us through Christ, who did the ultimate humbling when he left his throne of glory to become a man and die on the cross for sinners. We should be humble people because we're sinners saved by God's grace alone through Jesus Christ alone. So it's good for us to express humility before God. For example, if somebody goes to his prayer closet and prays and decides to kneel before the Lord, see, that's a humble position. Or prostrates themselves before God on the ground. That's surely a self-humbling. That is our decision. If one says, you know what, this morning I'm going to get up extra early. Hey, light. There we go. I won't bump the pulpit anymore. If someone were to get up extra early to pray, see, that's a self-humbling act. That's saying that I need sleep less than I need communion with God. I need communion with God. It's more important. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 5, Paul writes about a married couple refraining from physical intimacy for a time to devote themselves to prayer. Again, a self-humbling act. We should be humble because we're sinners saved by God's grace alone. And these things express our humility. Many times in our contemporary culture, I think the Christians kind of think that somehow the message of the gospel is to live in convenience, to do what's convenient. We must remember Christ says to his disciples, you need to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. And it should be voluntary, willingly, even joyfully, but not ostentatiously. Not putting on a show for others, not for a self-glorifying purpose. Fasting, rising early to pray, falling on one's face before God were all things you find Jesus himself doing. And of course, it's assumed in Scripture that we will follow in his steps. So that's why Jesus says, when you fast, it's assumed that you will have some self-humbling activity in your life, in addition to the valleys that aren't our decision that God brings us through. So the second thing we see in this passage is a hypocritical fast for the praise of man. So Jesus says, when you fast, here's how not to do it. Here's not what you should be doing. It's a warning here. The same exact warning he said about giving and praying. He said, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They disfigure their face that their fasting may be seen by others. They want people to know that they're fasting. So they purposely disfigure their faces. They look gloomy. They want people to know something is going on. In fact, there's a play on words here that's not picked up in the English translation so clearly with the idea of they disfigure their face that their fasting may be seen. The play on words is something like this. They disfigure their face. The Greek word suggests they make themselves unrecognizable in order to be recognized. I want to look unrecognizable so someone will say something so I can say what I'm doing. I can tell them what I'm doing. So someone might say, wow, I can tell by your looks you must be fasting, right? Wow, you are really spiritual. So it says, when you fast, do not look gloomy, somber, of a sad countenance. The Greek word refers to putting on a face that looks discouraged or gloomy or sad. Wow, you look like you just lost your best friend. Oh, no. It's not that. I'm fasting. I'm just fasting. I love God so much. I'm just fasting. I'm Don't get me wrong, I'm not bragging, but I am kind of humble. Here I am again, I'm at it again, fasting, praying, self-sacrificing, giving, haven't eaten in a week, haven't slept in 3 days because I've been praying all night. Any extra cash I have, man, I'm giving it to the poor. As a matter of fact, right now I'm on my way to the dentist. Not because I have cavities, but I'm just going to ask him to drill, drill, drill. I want to be in pain because I really am spiritual. Jesus says they want to be seen. Can you imagine making yourself look gloomy so someone will say, why so sad? Oh, just fasting. Well, you look like there's a problem. Just fasting. You look tired. Oh, I've been praying all night. Jesus is warning and saying their fasting is done so that they may be seen by others. I think the NIV says to show men their fasting. The King James says that they may appear unto men to fast. And Jesus once again says, truly, he's announcing, he's using that word, amen. I want you to know this. This is important. They've already got their reward. I like the way the NIV translates it. They have it in full. That's the sense of the word there. It's paid in full. They've been seen by men. That's all they're going to get. Whatever temporal applause or self-glory men can give them, they've got it. And so in their self-humbling act, there is really no humbling before God. Or in any other supposed act of self-humbling done so that your spirituality can be seen and applauded by man. Look at you. You go. That's great. So we're not to yawn and say, I'm so tired. Say, hey, why are you tired? Well, been praying all night. Try to do that twice a week. Don't you? Oh, man, my knees are killing me. Oh, they're hurting bad. How come? Well, just so much kneeling in prayer. They bother me. Or, my body's frozen to the bones. How come? Well, I do what's called frozen prayer walks. I wait till the temperature drops below zero and I go out and walk and pray and just get as cold as I can possibly be because I want to get really close to the Lord. See, Jesus is saying, no, your self-humbling must be really personal and private and not for the applause of men. So first of all, he says, I assume you are going to do this when you fast. And then secondly, he says, but don't do it like the hypocrites. We see the hypocritical fast for the praise of men. And then lastly, we see the proper fast, or the proper way to do something self-humbling before God. Verses 17 and 18. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. By the way, when it says in verse number 17, but when you fast, the you is emphatic there. Again, he's done this in the other text above as well. It basically reads, you. You're different. The hypocrites do this. You, my disciples, when you fast, it needs to be different. So he says, anoint your head, wash your face. He's not prescribing any kind of special medication or medicinal practice. He's just using proper hygiene, normal hygiene. The oil was presumably the lubricated dry scalp. You wash your face. The idea is look normal. Look normal. So no one will think differently. No one will suspect you've been up praying, or no one will suspect you've fasted. No one will suspect that you have these self-humbling moments with God. Do what you normally do so that you look presentable and normal, not gloomy and sad, because the fast is between you and God. And so he says in verse number 18, that your fasting may not be seen by others. That's the point. but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See, God's the one who'll see. God's the one who'll notice. God's the one who'll reward in secret. Now, Jesus is not teaching here that he'll reward you in some kind of carnal, fleshly, worldly, material way. You don't fast so you can manipulate God to get something that you shouldn't have in the first place. Yeah, I'm fasting because Friday night there's a big poker game and I want to win. So I am fasting, fasting, fasting. Lord, give me a big jackpot in this game. Again, the reward we're seeking is to know God more intimately, to know God ultimately in the fullness of his kingdom. The goal is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that God delights to bless us. God desires us to have fruitful lives, lives that glorify him and fill our hearts with joy in him. And fasting in the scriptures is closely connected to prayer as one communes with God. But we must never think it's some kind of magic action that guarantees a specific answer to one's prayer. We must never think we can fast to manipulate God to do something that God's not going to do. Christ's point is that one does not fast to be admired for his spirituality. One fasts to honor God, to recognize God is the center and God is the treasure. It's not about a performance for others. It's an act of worship before God, and it's personal. In fact, that's the whole idea of Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18. That's the point. Whether it's giving to the needy, whether it's praying, whether it's fasting, these are just examples of ways that we can behave hypocritically to draw attention and applause to ourselves, or ways that we can glorify God if we do them privately in order to have communion with God, in order to grow in grace, in order to live our lives in such a way that God is treasured and God is honored and God is glorified. We humble ourselves before God because he's worthy. We humble ourselves before God because we desire to know him better. We humble ourselves before God because we desire to serve his people. We desire to serve for his kingdom and for his glory. We desire to spend time with him. We desire to acknowledge before him our thankfulness. We desire our hearts to be filled with the joy that is found in him. And so, God does bring us through some dark valleys. God brings us through many things, trials and testings and so on. And they are humbling. And they wouldn't be what we choose. But he also expects us, by grace, to be involved in simple self-humbling acts that demonstrate that we recognize his glory and our lowliness, his strength and our weakness, his grace and our need of it. I love the way the old hymn writer expressed it. Not have I gotten but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, what? Saved by grace. If you're a believer, and some of this kind of self-abasing and self-humbling and stuff maybe causes you to say, yeah, but, you know, I would like to be happy in life. Please understand that desiring true happiness is not a wrong thing. It's a natural thing. It's part of our natural self-love. What Jesus is teaching here is that true happiness is not found in the applause of men. It's not found in self-glory. It's not found in being highly esteemed by other people and praised by other people. Jesus is teaching here that true happiness is found in the humble heart that desires God's glory. And see, our problem is we look for happiness in all the wrong places. Jesus says you need to desire to know God in a humble, dependent way. In Him is true peace and joy and hope, and it comes through Christ and it comes in His gospel. So there's no conflict between a desire to be happy and a desire for self-humility, self-abasement before God. There is no such thing as somebody whose heart's desire is to magnify God who will truly be unhappy. Glorifying God with a humble heart is truly a joy for human beings. So let me say this morning. If you're not a Christian, not a believer, please understand that your self-righteous works, whether you pray, whether you fast, whether you give, go to church, whatever, please understand that self-righteous works done to appear holy will never do. You are, in fact, not holy. The Bible says you are a sinner. And your sinful, unholy state will be the cause, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, it will be the cause of your spending eternity apart from God in a place the Bible calls hell. God will be the judge, and your sentence will be to depart from Him because of your iniquity. But Jesus came to fix sinful lives. Jesus came to fix broken lives. Jesus came to fix lives that are seeking their happiness in all the wrong ways, in all the wrong places. And so He died on the cross for sin, and He rose again from the dead as an expression of His triumph over sin. And if you're here and you're an unbeliever, Jesus Christ calls you to put your trust in Him alone for your salvation. Called you to in humility, admit your sinfulness and admit your need for a Savior and come to Him, call upon Him, pray to Him, receive Him, ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. And the call is urgent, and your response should be immediately. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the many ways You humble us that are not our decision, but are brought our way in Your wisdom for our good and for Your glory. And we thank You for valleys, Lord. We thank You that in those valleys, Your glory shines brightly if we'll look. In those valleys, when all seems dark, we can see Your working. We can see Your growing us. We can see, Lord, that there's more to life than just what we can see. We can see You who are invisible working. We thank You for that. We praise You. But Lord, help us, Lord, in our own lives and those things that we do voluntarily, willfully. Lord, help us understand who we are before You. Help us to demonstrate that by simple things that we might do that are marks of desiring to come before you humbly, desiring that you be made much of. Lord, in a culture that's so saturated with self at the center, please open our eyes to that, and please move in our hearts that we would desire instead you to be at the center. Bless us, we pray. Pour out your grace upon us. Show us, Lord, how worthy you are to be glorified and exalted and worshiped and praised. Fill our hearts with that joy that comes with knowing you and seeing your glory and greatness. Bless us, we pray. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.